For WNCW, I'm Pam Bunch. 3 years ago, I interviewed New York Times chief Washington correspondent and author David Sanger about his book on President Obama entitled The Inheritance, The World Obama Confronts and the Challenges to American Power. Much has happened to the world and how this president has had to adapt to those changes since then. In his latest book, Confront and Conceal Obama's Secret Wars and Surprising Use of American Power, Sanger follows up with an eye-opening, news-packed account of how the president has dealt with those challenges. And even before the book was scheduled to hit the shelves last week, Sanger found himself in the middle of a firestorm in Washington as accusations of White House leaks came from all sides. And according to those making those accusations, the leaks were politically motivated and endangered our country's security. I spoke with David Sanger on Monday and had to ask first about the elephant in the room, those allegations of leaks.
You know, the phrase leaks, I almost think is sort of the wrong way to describe a project that, like Confront and Conceal, that's been an 18-month-long effort to try to put together a broad and nonpartisan picture of what the national security challenges are that President Obama faced and how he dealt with them. This is a book of reporting, reporting from the bottom up and reporting from around the world. So, you know, the phrase leaks leaves the sense that you're sort of sitting on your back porch having a nice tea and somebody calls you up and, you know, describes some secret program to you. It doesn't work that way. So in this case, the issue concerns the cyber program against Iran. And what happened there was the big leak was a technological one. It was when a worm that was designed by the United States and Israel that was inside the Natanz nuclear enrichment plant had a programming error. And it leaked outside of the plant and started replicating itself across the internet. And suddenly it was obvious to the entire world, or at least the world that goes and looks at computer viruses out there, that somewhere, somehow, somebody had designed an extraordinarily sophisticated program to attack the Natanz plant. And it was that thread that I pulled on.
Have they plugged that technological leak?
It was a one-time thing in 2010, but it was also something that made obvious that there was an attack designed against Natanz. Now, the Iranians immediately accused the United States and Israel, and I guess that makes sense. I mean, if you're Iranian and you're looking at an attack on your plant, you're probably not thinking it's coming from Switzerland or Indonesia, right?
Yeah.
So that was the beginning. And as I traced it back, I came across a much broader program that it was part of called Olympic Games, described in the book, which is a four-year-long effort that began in the Bush administration.
One thing that's revealed right off the bat is that this man who took office with promises to end the U.S. involvement in Iraq and to limit the amount of time the country would remain in Afghanistan instead takes a hands-on approach to both wars and to using the technology available to him to make specific and hard strikes using drones and cyber warfare.
Right. And it's one of the central theses of the book. Trying to examine how the president has made use of what he calls the light footprint strategy. Just to say that after 10 years of sending, you know, hundreds of thousands of troops into Afghanistan and Iraq at a cost of $1 trillion and or more, with horrific casualties, of course, I think the president's come to the conclusion that we can't afford these kind of wars anymore, and that the American public really isn't going to sit still for them that much longer anyway. And that we need a higher-tech, lower-casualty, lower-cost way to go deal with threats that face the United States. And much of the pathway for this was set by the Bush administration, and he's kind of doubled and tripled down on it in drones and cyber and the use of special forces. What the book also explores, though, is the limits of that strategy. It works well against, you know, a group of terrorists who are in a living room in Pakistan. It may work well for a while against a group of centrifuges underground in Iran. It's proven not to be enormously helpful in a place like Syria, as we've seen.
The book also talks about the president's willingness to make gambles, which sometimes, as in the case of Osama bin Laden, he wins and others he doesn't. Talk about that a little bit.
I don't think any American president faced with intelligence about where Osama bin Laden was would have made any other choice. I think they had to go after him. The question was how to go after him and whether to do it with a SEAL team, as the president ultimately did, or whether to bomb the site, as Defense Secretary Gates at the time suggested, and some others suggested, who didn't want to take the risk of going in. But there certainly was a high price for it. And the high price was that a bad relationship with Pakistan was bound to get significantly worse and probably permanently damaged. That is certainly what has happened in the case of Pakistan, where they're still blocking our ability to move goods into Afghanistan through Pakistani roads to go supply the troops. And a lot of the book focuses on how they tried to manage an ally who seems to be playing both sides of the war.
One of the things is that once Obama got into the White House, he found out that things were so bad around the world that his strategy for dealing with Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iran were going to have to change dramatically, and he'd have to use some of the tools that were there.
In new and innovative ways. But certainly there is a tension within the president between the sort of cautious, lawyerly approach that he's taken, which he brings to many of these issues, including cyber, including drones, asking about collateral damage, how to go limit that, how to redesign a program to focus it more narrowly, and the sort of risk-taking side that you referred to before that you saw in the bin Laden raid, and you've seen to some degree in Olympic Games, the cyber program. The other thing that I think is sort of a surprise to many is that for an administration that talks a lot about transparency, some of the issues that I think many in the country would want to go air a little more openly, like when should we be using drones, when should we be using cyber weapons since we are vulnerable to cyber attack ourselves, those issues have not been debated very much, in part because this White House has sort of used the secrecy surrounding the programs to avoid much public debate about how these should be used. But just as we had to come up with a way to use nuclear weapons and some rules around them and intercontinental ballistic missiles and for the past 10 years a debate over how to go use drones, you need to have that argument about cyber as well.
I wish we had more time to talk because this book is full of fascinating facts and incidences. David Sanger, Chief Washington Correspondent for the New York Times and author of Confront and Conceal, Obama's Secret Wars and Surprising Use of American Power. For WNCW, I'm Pam Bunch.